Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru
Steiner.
Johnson.
How do you think he shot?
I don't care.
He's going to bring it to work. I'm hoping he shot well.
You know what?
Good Steiny is better than bad Steiny.
You know what I feel confident in saying? And I hope he's listening. I've never met somebody who can take a vacation and come back with a bad attitude. I'm dead serious.
No, I've met a lot of people like that. They come back and they're mad that it's over. It's back to reality. You heard of that?
No. But it's not that it's not because you have to go back to work. It's because you didn't have a good vacation.
Oh come on.
The Acapulco. Whole point of a vacation is to have fun.
Remember his trip to Acapulco?
Well,
yeah.
That was for different reasons. No, I'm sure he'll be in a good mood. I'm happy to see him.
We'll see.
I think people are, too.
And I can't stand fried okra. Evan.
Fried okra is fire.
Yeah, not to me. They were eating in Mississippi. I was like, nope.
Dude, it is.
Give me Taco Bell. I'll take that over.
Is it because you can't put cheese on it?
Fried okra. What are we doing, Evan? Like that.
Well, okra,
the kids love it.
Okra is good by itself.
Anything
fried is good. Yeah. Name one thing. Well, I guess you just did. I was going to say, name me one thing that's fried that you don't like. Fried pickles, fried Oreos, fried okra, fried chicken.
No, fried Oreos, good. Pickles, I'm not a big fan of.
Even fried?
No.
They're like chips.
Yeah, I'm out.
Onion rings.
Now you talking my language. Yeah, you're getting me hungry.
I know. Well, it's a little bit past lunchtime. We're almost in that kind of lunch hour area.
Real quick, D. Lou says my black card revoked. That was for the okra? Why would it be revoked? Fried okra?
Well, I'm not black. I can't revoke your card.
Right.
I don't have to. You're asking the wrong person,
buddy. You're not on the committee. I got you.
All right. So, Goo, this is kind of where we started the conversation. It was about what Greg Cosell said yesterday with Wildern and Dibs.
Yeah.
And I think Granny's in for Dibs today. It was about Brock Purdy and his place on the culpability ladder for last year's 6-11 season. So I'm going to play this, and then I'm going to ask you a question on the heels of it, all right? Here we go.
When it comes to the subtleties and the nuances and the understanding of how to play the position, Brock Purdy is high level. Does he have a rocket arm? No. Is he the most athletic quarterback in the league? No. But he understands intuitively and innately how to play the quarterback position. You know, look, you guys, I'm sure, have talked ad nauseum going back to last year and probably through the summer about why the Niners were 6-11. And there's many reasons for that. And it's not just Brock Purdy. In fact, he'd probably be one of the least important reasons.
So I'm kind of with Cosell in that regard. I do think that...
I love him, too.
I mean, it falls on the quarterback's shoulder when you have a bad season. There's no doubt. But I also think that Purdy had to go through something that probably hadn't since, like, maybe early in his collegiate career.
Because he set the bar so high in the pros.
Well, the Niners set the bar really high, and he quarterbacked that team. And I'm not trying to take credit away from him, but those teams of which he orchestrated were unbelievable. And in 1 year, it just 180'd. I mean, the bottom fell out from the 49ers as a team.
He was more erratic. And I saw it, Evan.
Yeah, you said 65-60% on him. I said close to 30. But looking at this season, because he is going to have to do more, but he'll have pieces back.
Okay.
A lot of playmakers back on the offensive side of the ball. So if we look at the division, you asked me this earlier, and I want to toss it back to you before I give you my answer.
All right.
Where do you think that Brock Purdy ranks in the division among quarterbacks?
Okay, and here we go. First is Matthew Stafford. I've always been in love with him, the mechanics, the arm strength. Shout out Phil Mike. I remember that conversation on the arm strength. But the fact that he came to L.A., delivered the Super Bowl, I don't think a lot of people have a problem. Matt Stafford. But why I'm so enamored and excited to see Brock Purdy is he got this job on the fly and has never looked back and was yards away from winning the Super Bowl. Anyway, I got him 2. So I got Stafford 1, Purdy 2, and Bonte, if you're listening, we are in the disappointment committee club of Kyler Murray.
Mm.
Every time I think he's figured it out, Evan, I see regression and just bad stuff. But the bottom line is Murray's got a lot of talent, I think more than Brock Purdy, but whatever, it hadn't happened yet. Well, this year could change. So I got Kyler Murray at 3, and then it would be Sam Darnold at 4. And yeah. Darnold just real quick about that, Evan. Again, you could call me crazy, stupid, it's okay, but I've never seen a metamorphosis like the one he had from seeing Ghost to what he did with Minnesota all the way to the end on those two games where it looked like he turned right back into the Ghost guy. So I got him fourth.
Yeah, for me, I think Stafford is clearly the top quarterback in the division.
I thought we were going to fight there. Like, how can he? He got a ring, right? I got you.
It's not about rings.
On my metric,
He's a better quarterback. Now,
he is.
One of the reasons they've won a ring is because he's the best quarterback in the division. But you know this with me. It's not all about championships.
Yeah.
We disagree on that. That's fine. Number two, it is Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is the second best quarterback in his division.
All right.
I don't understand why people are on the heels of last season having doubts about that. Sam Darnold and Kyler Murray are not as good as Brock Purdy. And I'm not as high on Brock as a lot of guys at this station.
Right, wow.
But to me, I don't understand how you could look at this division, the Niners' place in it, Brock Purdy's place in it, and have him any lower than two. Maybe there's some people who think that he's in a crazy, far planet world better than Stafford, but he's, to me, very clearly the second best quarterback in the NFC West.
You've given me, and I heard it, and I mentally wrote it down, but you've given me the opportunity to go Evan on Evan. Now, when you say...
I also have Darnold number three, and I would have Kyler fourth.
Wow, Evan. So that's what I was going to say. So it's just about accomplishments then, because how... Like, Kyler's got all the electricity. He can do it all. He's got an arm. He can move.
Well, it's not about accomplishments. Otherwise, he'd be third.
Well,
I mean, Darnold's done less.
But Purdy to have that big of a gap on Murray is what I'm saying. Like, athletically, if it were about just the attributes, I got to figure you would take Murray over Brock. I'm asking.
Well, yeah, but then I would take a lot of quarterbacks over Brock that are more physically talented. But what he's able to do with his processor makes him better than those guys.
That's his biggest weapon, man.
I mean, if Kyler Murray was the number one overall pick for a reason. He's incredibly talented.
Yeah, he hadn't lived up to it.
No, he not yet.
Close. Yeah.
I think he's made the playoffs one time. And it isn't as if he hasn't had help around him.
And they had a collapse, too. Remember, they got off to a great start, double digit, and then just lost every game.
That was the year he had DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, that offense sort of fell apart towards the end. From the 415, Evan, put Sam or Kyler Murray on this team and put Brock on the teams around them, what would you say?
Well, then go ahead. You say it because I asked you, but that's back to Kyle then. If you put Dak with Kyle, he's better than what he's been in Dallas. Like, I get that.
Well, I think that Brock Purdy could quarterback both the Seahawks and the Cardinals last year to the records they had.
Oh.
They might have even been a little bit better. Mm. Now, I guess Darnold was different. He was in Minnesota.
What about the Rams?
You get Brock Purdy, Justin Jefferson in a good running game.
Oh, my gosh. We saw, no doubt.
I don't know. Kevin O'Connell also is an incredible play caller.
God, he looks like our guy, John Lucum.
Luke In. Yeah.
Oh, boy. I hope he ain't listening.
He probably is.
Boy, JL.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm off my rocker, but like last year didn't kill my confidence in Brock Purdy.
Mine either.
In respect to the division. You know, I think that I don't look at the NFC West as being weak. I look at it as being really close.
I mean, think Seattle's going to be better.
Well, last year, the Niners had 6 wins, but the Cardinals had 8. The team that won the division had 10.
Just think about that. Wow.
It's a really tight race. And from that standpoint, I would be maybe more of a glass half full on the Niners just because they're, to me, isn't as big of a leap that the Niners have to make than teams in other divisions. I think the NFC North is the best division in the NFC, maybe in football, and the NFC East is the most top-heavy. You know, the NFC South is obviously a little bit different, but to me, the NFC West is going to be the most exciting division to watch, maybe in football this year, because of how close all four teams are. The Niners, I think a lot of people are expecting to rise.
They got Vegas has the Niners as the favorites to win that division at plus 160. Like, they're giving them better odds than the Rams.
Well, this is a theory that I have. Well, I think one of the reasons why people are higher on the Niners, like if you really look around the rest of the conference, there's a lot of teams you sort of expect to take steps back. Like there's a lot more fallers than risers. That's kind of how we're putting
it. So, like, Arizona would go from 8-6. Like, I got them being better along with Seattle.
Yeah, but they only won 8 games. My point is, you look at the final standings from last season.
All right.
2024 in the NFC. The Lions won 15 games. They're going to take a step back.
I totally agree.
Both their coordinators. They're probably going to take a step back.
All right.
The Eagles, who won the Super Bowl, I think they're going to take a step back this year. Now, they won 14 games. So a step back could be, you know, 11, 12.
Yeah, gotcha.
Probably still play. They're a playoff team. But Saquon, he's got a lot of mileage on him after last season. I think it's going to be hard for him to replicate that, what he did. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 10 wins. They might be about the same.
Who saw that coming? Shout out Baker.
Well, Tampa's won the division 4 years in a row.
No, I'm just saying them with Baker Mayfield resurrecting his career in Tampa, making the playoff game. To me.
That's a good point. The Rams won 10 games. They won the NFC West last year by the tiebreaker. I think they're probably about the same, although they had some issues early in the year, and then they finished strong.
They got a D-line, so we'll see.
Yeah, but it's all predicated on the health of their quarterback. But then here are the teams that I think are going to take a step back. Minnesota. Like, they just are.
You don't believe in McCarthy?
I don't know what to think of McCarthy. He's a rookie.
Yeah?
I don't think he's going to win 14 games. Okay, what about Washington? I think they're going to take a step back this year.
That's the one, like...
They won 12 games.
Dude, one of them was a Hail Mary against the Bears. I do wonder, like, remember that? Washington, I'm just like, what if that didn't happen? Where are you? But anyway, I'm with you.
And then the teams that are looking to improve, I would say Atlanta, because they have a young quarterback.
Okay.
I think Dallas is going to be better this year.
I believe that, too.
I don't know if they'll be a playoff team, but they should be better with injury, not knocking at their door again. Chicago is going to be better.
Man, Caleb Williams, man.
I think they should be better.
Yeah.
I think the Cardinals can be better.
I'm with you.
And the Niners are stuck right there. So, again, there's teams at the bottom that I think a lot of people are expecting to take a step, the Niners being one of them, hopefully a big step. And then a lot of those teams at the top, that's where I think that the NFC is going to be really hard to predict this year, because there's so many squads that are kind of about the same.
Yeah, and I got Atlanta, and you're going to laugh. I think Carolina, again, not making the playoffs, Evan, but it's going to be harder and more difficult. You know, when you play them, you're going to feel it. But I got them being better. But I told you during the break, the worst team in football, Evan, I believe, you didn't ask, hashtag random, the New Orleans Saints. They are the Aints right now.
One sec. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live in the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. Well, the Niners get them week 2.
Now, that's what you call a bone. That's home game. Is that the opener?
I think so.
Yeah. So that's, you got to take advantage of that one right there.
Now, why do you think, I guess I'm always curious how your brain works.
Yeah.
Why you woke up today, Bruce Bochy back with the Giants, and the Saints are going to be the worst team in football.
Yeah, I've been holding on to this for a while, but I was looking at Tennessee because, Cam looks like,
Sorry, they're on the road against New Orleans. Their home opener is week 3 against Arizona.
All right. So is that prime time? I'm putting you on the spot. My bad.
No. They're playing the Cardinals.
Well, Kyler's been on Monday night or Sunday night.
The 49ers' first primetime game
is... Give it to me.
Well, it depends on if you count. It's a Thursday night game.
It counts!
October 2nd, week 5, at Levi South.
Let's go.
Against the Rams.
Yeah. All right. I'll just say that the Saints, they don't got much going for them. That's all.
No, the Saints are a team that refuses to believe that they're in a rebuild.
Dude, wow. Is that how you feel, E?
Yeah.
I was just looking around like, what do they got? They
got nothing. Got a whole lot of nothing.
They'll have the first pick this upcoming draft, I believe.
They might. Yeah. They just might.
Archie Manning.
Oh,
this is where
God.
Steiny just...
Well, I didn't know where that came from.
Yeah.
I was.
You're worthless.
No, I'm not. Not yet, anyways. No, but the NFC West to me it's going to be the closest division in the conference and maybe in the entire league.
Yeah.
Do you think that helps or hurts the Niners?
I think it hurts, and that's why everybody was playing the, in regard to it, this season being more difficult. Everybody's playing the schedule game, but hello, Evan, division games count, and they take stuff out of you, and I believe Seattle, they've already proven it. They came in here last year, and our guy went night-night, Geno on us, did the Steph Curry, and then the Thursday game, Stani and I were in Walnut Creek with you doing the watch party. I mean, yeah, the Niners won that game, but it was a close game. I think Arizona's going to be better, and then you got the Rams twice. So just right there, those are six tough games. And, man, Evan, I you know, it's wear and tear, battle of attrition. But what I hate about that statement is battle of attrition is the Niners aren't playing one game and guys are dropping like flies.
Well, yeah, they got like 30 guys that are injured right now. But that's a part of football.
Yeah, but, yeah, and then – how do you kind of try to remedy it? What do you do? Like, Pearsall came with a hammy. He's good now, right? And I was just going off, and you guys were laughing at me. Like, I guess you're over. You're working on your body so much that you're overdoing it to where you come into OTAs with soft tissue stuff going on. But, like, man, it has not slowed down. And Pooney, I couldn't believe he went out the game in that. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Oh, he'll be back. Evan, nothing to see here, right? But – yeah, we'll see it when we see it, but damn.
Well, that sucks because he still got a chance to start week one.
Got you.
But you would hope that he wouldn't re-aggravate it because he's important. But the thing about the injuries is that the Niners have found ways, you might say impressively, to survive them the entirety of Kyle Shanahan's tenure. Now, there have been some years where they've been hit at specific positions.
When Jimmy went down with the high ankle sprain, it was a wrap. And they're doing
Bosa
COVID.
Wrecked his knee. Kittle's had injury-riddled seasons. Obviously, last year, it felt like everybody was hurt at some point. Some season-ending, like Brandon Ayuk. But they were still a very hurt team in 2022. You know, if you look at, like, I think it's like a adjusted games lost, basically who gets hurt the most, the Niners have been top five or top 10 pretty much every year since Kyle Shanahan's been head coach.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny
and they still made that. A bunch of NFC Championship games and two Super Bowls.
And I do remember in those seasons, a couple years ago, they got embarrassed right here at home against the Colts in a monsoon that was raining here in the Bay. And I believe they were 3-4, 3-5. They turn it around, go on a run, get to the NFC Championship game. So we've seen the Niners at that midway or halfway point, kind of like, oh, what's going on here? And then they get going. So it wasn't just like, we're going to go 15-2, we don't lose. So we've seen turbulence is my point. And then Kyle and the gang get hot and then take it to the Super Bowl. Like, that's happened under Kyle.
It has, but those teams have been really good. You know, even some of the teams that you could say, like in 2021, they caught fire down the stretch of that season. And, you know, maybe they overachieved a bit.
Got to lost to the Rams.
But they still had aspects of that team that were, I think, elite. Yeah. You know, that was a really good defensive front that they had.
I'm mad at you.
And they at least had enough playmakers on offense to get things done. Debo Samuel that year might have been the best offensive player in football that wasn't a quarterback.
No, I love that, and it has me asking you this, Evan. I know it's a crazy – besides winning, what do you want to see from Brock?
From Brock?
Yeah, like what for you to text me and say, Goo, this dude's on one, he's progressing. Because I believe that's how they have to win now. Of course, it's going to be McCaffrey, but a lot of luxuries, again, are not afforded to him. And I'm excited to see if he can take that. Like, what's that next step look like to Evan Giddings for Brock Purdy?
To me, it looks like composure.
Nice.
In and outside of the pocket. Because I think that Brock is going to have to move a lot more this year, like last season. But it felt like last season, Goo, whenever he was – you know, tap dancing around pass rushers and, you know, the pocket was getting broken up.
He was doing it.
He had to. He had to do it. The offensive line was not very good, and the running game at times was paltry at best. But he looked flustered a lot. And I think that having that experience of things breaking down around you prepares you for it to happen again, and when it does, you're more composed. You know, when you've been introduced, and this is across all aspects of life, when you're introduced to something new, there are very few people, I think, that can succeed immediately in those positions because they're foreign, they're different, and they demand you to improvise.
Oh, man.
Brock Purdy, I think, struggled when he had to improvise last year. I'm hoping that this season...
That's a great one.
...with more mobility, more exposure to those sort of improvisational situations, that he's able to remain more composed in those spots. That's what I want to see.
No, that's great. You knocked it out the park with that one. And again, Evan, I'm not telling you how the game's played. You know this. You've heard this. But a big part of that component for him to be relaxed and you know, stare down the barrel of defenders coming at him is that offensive line, their ability to protect and hold their blocks, man. Remember how I criticized Brock early on, and Stani and I both, Stani even said it first, like, it seems like he's leaving the pocket too soon. But then I realized, Evan, it was by necessity because you guys weren't blocking. And that word improvise, some of the good ones, the best ones, quarterbacks can, that's when they get better.
In some cases, that's true. By the way, this football conversation is brought to you by Paramount Plus, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Yeah, I think, look, the improvisational aspect of the quarterback position, it's like almost a necessity now. You cannot be a statue and, I think, effectively play the position at a high level.
Yeah, but like that's what makes Stafford like, I mean, like even one Joe of the
Burrow,
throwbacks.
Joe Burrow's probably the
both
least
of those guys.
The least mobile of the top quarterbacks. Stafford maybe as well.
I was going to say, yeah, Matt.
But
yeah.
Burrow still has...
He can get out of there.
Well, he has pocket awareness.
Yeah. Man.
And that's where I think he knows what to do when things start to break down around him. And he kind of has to because their offensive line's not very good.
That's amazing.
But
man.
Brock's, yeah, like Brock outside the pocket, you know, I'm curious to see what he's like. There was a play in the preseason game in that first drive, and it was just a rollout, but him moving left, and he just dotted, I think it was DeMarcus Robinson on the sideline on a deep cross. And it was like, those are the kinds of plays outside of the pocket when you're not maybe in the most rhythm or you got a guy who's bearing down on you. And you can still fit in a tight window. I know it's preseason. You know, you don't make much of it. But I saw that play, and I was like, wow, okay. Like, Brock looked really composed on that throw.
Yeah, no
How many
doubt.
Times can he do that when things are breaking down?
Yeah, and I expect Kyle to call more of that because I can go back, I believe it was 2023 playoff game against Dallas here. Micah and Dallas's defense was stout under Dan Quinn. And, Evan, it was a close game. But, man, in that game, Kyle called some great – because they were blitzing left and right, Dallas, some rollouts for Purdy to just get outside the pocket, you know, make the play with his legs or throw, and just like you could just tell the defense had a headache from the fact that he wasn't under center where they thought he was going to be. Those design rollouts, man, they work, and he was hitting his receivers. And I'm like, man, if you can, you know, do that, especially timely, Evan, I mean, the world is yours. Tony Montana.
Well, it kind of has to be. You know, again, I still think things are going to be tough for him this year, but more, and I'm not asking for it to happen every time. I think that's unrealistic, but you know, I do think that he has to be a little bit better when things are not going his way. Like, we've spent time today discussing how the wide receiver room is going to be a bit more barren.
Man.
And may not have Juwan Jennings, either because of injury or contract negotiation or... You know, whatever other reason.
Tim sent another text in saying guys can get paid while they're on the PUP list. And I get that. All I was telling Dibs in our conversation just about that is it's not about to me if he's hurt or not, Dibs. It's about if they deem him worthy, about giving him some new chicken or that important to where if he's not on the field week one or whenever, that they take a step back offensively. And I guess we'll find the answer to that as we get closer to go time.
Well, they could, and look, without Juwan Jennings, they're not going to be 100%. But I guess my point is if Juwan Jennings is not on the field week one against Seattle...
Talk to me. Evan!
I just don't think he's going to be the difference in them winning or losing.
Oh, man.
I don't.
Pastor, where are you at on that? I know we're up against it.
Oh, yeah, we got to go.
Okay, yeah. You can get it on the other
yeah,
side.
Yeah, we'll ask you on the other side. Sorry about that, yeah. Pasta. Pump fake.
That was my bad.
That segment was brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. This Labor Day weekend, be road trip ready with Valvoline Instant Oil Change. No appointment needed. Stay in your car while they change your oil and check your tires, battery, as well as fluids. Before you head down the coast or over the Golden Gate, visit BarryOilChange.com. Giddings and Guru, back after this.
Let me tell you something. This guy is a ball player.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
This is ASAP.
Yeah, who was in the Denzel movie?
Oh, that's right. He was, yeah. Well, you said you didn't like it, so the movie.
I'm going to go give it another chance this weekend.
Now, that's something, I'm being honest, because sometimes you feel like I'm messing with you. I'm being honest. I do appreciate how much you are willing to give movies second chances.
Oh, come on, E.
You'll go see him again, even though the first time you're like,
And before I got married, relationships. I'd give you a second chance, E.
Well, you got to give everyone a second chance.
Not everyone, E. Some things are done, and it's like finito. But
most people.
I like the movie more after, and I'm going to take, for heaven, don't want to go down that road,
Road you're taking me down right now.
Pasta, the script was okay, and it's grown on me. But, Evan, is there anything better than when you watch something or read something that second time you're like, I didn't see that the first time, and it's just special. That's what I do with games.
You mean like Easter eggs?
I have a question for both of you guys. Both of you guys love movies, right?
Ask Evan first, yeah.
Evan loves movies, goes to a bunch of them in the theater. Is there more pressure for a movie to be good when you're seeing it in theater and you have the expenses of going to a movie theater? Wow. Is there more pressure in that movie having to be good because you kind of spent a lot of money being there?
This is why I have the AMC A-list pass. So I don't have to answer that question.
Oh, wow, E.
I pay a fee per month and I can see as many movies effectively as I want.
That's the most pompous thing I've ever heard, but okay.
Well, it's not very expensive. Anybody has access to it.
I know.
But there is pressure when you're spending your money. It's the same reason, like you apply it to sports. It's the same reason why people don't want to go see particular teams, because why would I spend my hard-earned money on them? I'm not going to get a good show. You know, I'll spend money on Broadway. I'll spend money on, a good movie that people have seen and recommended. I'll spend money on a restaurant that is going to give me pleasure, but I'm not going to spend it on something that's not deserving of my cash.
Well, I'll say this to that, and I love the question. There is a pressure. There's more disappointment for me, Evan, when I get in the car, dressed up, go to the theater, IMAX, and it's not good, as I'm opposed to I'll pay for that movie at the crib, which I've done, and I haven't seen, and I throw the remote in the couch like I didn't like that. But the disappointment don't hit Risotto like it does when you got to walk to the car. You know, it's just like there's something about that what you do all the time, it sounds like. That's how you catch your movies. I'm going.
Well, I think watching it on a big screen is better than watching it at the house.
There's
personally.
No doubt about it.
And it's because you see all the minor details because it's huge. The screen is just massive. It forces you to take in every single piece of the director or writer, or whoever, the people who put together this film, like their vision. I mean, Spike Lee, I think that movie's going to be better in theaters. So I want to see it there. The one that you said you're giving a second chance.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, but that's just me. So let me ask you this, as it applies to Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers. Are you giving Brock Purdy a second chance?
He's not on his second chance. Like, no, I'm serious. Evan, people, I'm not telling you he's Peyton Manning. I'm telling you the kid shocked the hell out of me for not messing it up, having the fast Wi-Fi upstairs, and doing what he did to get this team to the Super Bowl and NFC championships, the two games, right? So I know there was regression last year, but I have not said it's do or die. Shout out 50 Cent. Great movie. It's do or die, Evan, yet with him. So there's not a second chance. It's just I'm watching to see if last year is going to, if we get another version of that, then we can have the conversation about, oh boy, Evan was right. Those first two years might have been a byproduct of all the luxuries he was afforded around him.
Well, I don't think he's going to be as good as he was those first 1.5 years because he's not going to have that again.
But what if his stats are, and I'm not this guy, I could hear Stoney real quick, Evan. What if they go 9-8, but his 32 touchdowns to 12 interceptions and they're losing, but you know they're not losing because of him. And we see that in sports all day.
Well, I think it doesn't have to do with stats to me. I mean, I think that Brock Purdy's going to, he's got a high floor. He's going to put up some numbers.
But the eye test, though, is there. That's a different kind of stat, right?
It is. But Maybe I just find it hard to believe Brock Purdy's going to throw 32 touchdowns this year. I mean, that's what he did when he was behind center for the 2023 team, which was really, really good. But I guess, Goo, when I'm looking at Brock, this might be a little weak, and you could throw it back in my face if you want. The moment you get paid, pressure's kind of off. Like, they believe that you're the guy for their franchise. That's why they paid you.
But I got to do so. I love it, and I'm not throwing it
now,
back at you.
Now, the best ones put pressure on themselves to continue to get better.
And that's what he strikes me as. And then what you said yesterday that could be the name of my podcast, the court of public opinion, like that pressure is already, it's like fish grease. It's bubbling. So Purdy, he can do whatever he wants. But the fan base, the Steve Youngs, the ones that love Joe Montana and Cap, as short-lived as it was, Evan, they're waiting to see if this dude can live up to that. So you're right. Like, it's two separate entities. It's one where the good ones put pressure on themselves. Tom Brady, hold themselves to that standard. But, Evan, the fans won't let Purdy off that leash of, oh, this ain't good enough. You know, he ain't earning his bread, and that's why I love what we do.
Well, and I think Brock Purdy does care what the fans think about it. I think he understands.
They all do.
No, their importance to the franchise, and I think that's who Brock is. So I do believe that he's going to hold himself accountable. But he got 100. He's getting 183 M's, however you cut it.
Wow, that's a lot.
He could get hurt this year and miss a season. He could play every single game and be awful. He could also be great and lead them to a playoff berth. He's still getting paid.
You're going to throw something at me,
and it kicks in next year, but he's still got 5 years.
How much of those M's, again, tell me what you think. How much of those M's were for saving Kyle and John's ass? Because we talked, it came up yesterday. That's how I look at it. But, Evan, that's why I'm like, yeah, he's got to live up to the contract. I would tell you guys nothing at less. But the bottom line is, how much of that contract was a thank you for what you were able to do to save us from the vitriol that was, and it was quiet. But, I mean, because that Trey Lance debacle, and they're still looking for their franchise quarterback, Evan, everything in the Bay regarding the Niners would be different.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. But I don't think
my man said 100.
Well, but I don't think it was a thank you note.
Well, obviously, I got you.
No, but like Brock Purdy gave them a discount. I know it might sounds crazy because he only took 53 annually, but this was also from Nick Wagner's piece earlier today. Brock Purdy and his agent, I want to make sure I get his name correct here, Kyle Strongin.
All right.
So when they went to the Niners, they put together a presentation that featured player comparisons offering data on how Purdy stacked up against Jared Goff, Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence, guys that had signed deals in recent years.
Okay.
They didn't have an interest in trying to take the Niners for a Dak Prescott type of deal. They didn't.
So he took one for the team in a sense. Some chicken for...
And it went on to kind of detail when the Purdy camp was discussing things and like the number that they like in the average annual value, the name that kept sticking out was Lawrence. When Trevor Lawrence signed his deal, I think it was the prior summer, he ended up getting 53 per, 200 plus million. That was the second highest AAV at the time. Because I think it was him, then Herbert signed, and then Lamar signed. Jalen Hurts might have been in there too. But the point is, Trevor Lawrence took the second most AAV, and he'd had one playoff berth and looked like a good quarterback, but hasn't proven much. Certainly not in comparison to Brock.
Mm.
Brock, meanwhile, ends up at 53 per right now, in which he is still a top 10 paid quarterback, but he is nowhere near the top two.
So he almost...
He did them a favor.
Yeah, all right, I was about to say he did them a quarterback solid.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's another reason why if I'm looking at, is Brock Purdy going to take the money and run, so to speak? Is he going to put... He's someone that I think cares.
Mm.
And I think if there was anybody that was going to stop this train of just guys in the Niners taking the team for all they could... It was going to be Brock Purdy.
I do wonder, Evan, have you thought about how far he could have took it to where they'd have been like, hey, Brock, now you're doing a little too much, son. We got to do what we're doing with Juwan. We need to go to the lab and reconvene, and then we'll get back to you. I do wonder how far he could have pushed it.
Brock?
Like, yeah, if he wanted 60.
I think
did he have them between a like?
I think he could have held them to the fire.
I'm not saying you're
wrong. He's the quarterback.
Yeah, their only quarterback of worth something. Well, shout out Mac Jones, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they'd enjoy Mac Jones there. Maybe I'm off. I think Brock Purdy could have taken them.
I just had that thought
to the woodshed.
Right.
Because everybody else has. Brandon Ayuk did. Nick Bosa damn sure did. Deebo Samuel did. Brock Purdy did them
paid.
A solid this summer by signing early and signing for less money.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Frank, who's in Atlanta. Frank, good afternoon,
ATL.
My man. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on? I hope everybody's doing okay. Evan, this ain't about Brock. This is about Kai. Because we have to just go ahead on and put the rat on the table, brought to you by Echo.
Look at him, all right?
And admit, that we brought a knife to a gunfight. We got a washed-up running back and three broke receivers. So Kyle is going to have to scheme up some stuff with a team that doesn't have a number one receiver, a number two receiver, or a number three receiver. We don't have a number one running back or a number two running back. We got a great tight end, but our best running back is a check down Charlie pass catcher that can't carry the ball more than 10, 12 times a game without getting hurt. That's who we are now on offense. So this is about Kyle being able to get more out of less, because we're not going to have the best passing offense in the game. I mean, the best running attack in the game. So that,
you good, Frank?
That running game that has to change. We have to become a better passing team.
I got you, Frank.
And I would just tell Frank, even when they were rolling, and I'm talking about rolling down the river, Evan, they never had the best passing attack. You know, even with Jimmy, they just had the Niner way, and it was on the ground. Regardless if it was the Cheetah, Mostert, they just the hitting the tight end. They never were the greatest show on turf, is what I'm saying. But it sounds like Frank's like, and I looked at Kenny. Let's put the biggest rat on the table. Brought to you by ADCO. Evan, you didn't ask me this, but Frank got me thinking. If somehow McCaffrey can't go or is not McCaffrey, you can turn the lights off. I'm going Don Meredith, old school Monday Night Football. Turn off the line. And I think they know that.
Well, I don't think it's going to be last season. You know, I think they can win more than six games if McCaffrey isn't around, but it's going to be really hard to do. I mean.
And they got a number one. Frank, his name's Ayuk.
Well, he's not on the field.
Okay. Pearsall, number two.
Where's number one? He's got to prove.
I'm drafting him in fantasy if I get a crack at it.
Just don't reach for him, okay? Yeah. Just don't reach for him. By the way, they were a really good passing team 2 years ago.
No doubt.
Now, I know that Brock wasn't throwing up 5,000 yards, but
They
were the most efficient passing offense in football.
And I called it the 94. It looked like the 94 Niner offense. Like, that wasn't crazy to me. Like, that's how lethal they were, man.
He completed almost 70% of his passes.
Oh, man.
4,300 yards, led the league in yards per attempt, adjusted yards per attempt, yards per completion, quarterback rating, and QBR. Like, that's
a lot.
About all you can ask for from your guy behind center.
What did Jim Jones say, the rapper in New York? Ballin'.
We fly high.
Yeah, Evan.
Let's keep it in San Francisco. He's a little too young. Let's go to Bob. What's up, Bobby? What do you got, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
I love the show.
Thanks.
I can't argue with anything the other caller said. I mean, he hit it right on the nail on the head on that. But as far as Brock Purdy goes, I think that I think he puts pressure on himself anyway. Mm. I don't think the contract's going to affect him. I think what it's going to do is just kick in his professionalism, because his character to me seems like he ain't going to just sit down on his laurels and, you know, hey, I got paid. No, he's going to push himself and try to be the best he could be. He's going to focus in on the playbook. He's going to do everything we wanted Kaepernick to do, which he didn't do, right? And he's going to do that. And he's already surpassed Kaepernick, in my opinion, anyway. Anyway, the other thing I want to say was, yeah, the offense is going to have struggles, but, hey, we got to be concerned about that defense, the defensive line. We got a lot of rookies trying to fill the void. When you get to a more experienced offensive line, that's where the trouble could hit. But thank God for our schedule, because we're playing a lot of, mediocre teams. And we'll just see what happens. We'll see what plays out. But I think Brock Purdy is going to do just fine. That's my opinion.
Well, thanks.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah.
Well, I think most people believe he's got to be better than fine.
And the way I perceive Purdy to be, again, Evan, obviously I don't know him, but I don't think he's the type of guy that's going to put extra pressure on himself for the contract. And I could be totally wrong, but he just strikes me as just even keel. You know when he's running hot, and it's very infrequent.
I think he will.
So when he drops back and he's 3rd and 8, and the crowd, you think he's thinking, oh, boy, I got to make this play now. I'm not a 40. Before I was Rudy, everybody's favorite story. Now they didn't give me that chicken. It's like I got to do it.
I mean, no. He's not thinking about the money under center, but and it's not like he's going to get lemon booty because he's paid. But I think that Brock is – we learned last year he's a little bit of a gunslinger.
Huh?
Like, he's not afraid to let it rip, and that also got him in trouble
a lot
last year. Yeah. So having that balance or striking that balance is going to be a challenge for the Niners, and I think that's where McCaffrey comes into play because he gives you something not many teams, if any, have in the league, and that's somebody you can turn and give the ball to, and he can create something out of nothing.
Yeah. I do. I'm excited. This sounds crazy or lunatic-like. I am crazy to see how he's going to hold up on the season, Evan.
CMC?
McCaffrey, yeah. And
it's a big question.
Evan, I've watched games, and it's called football, goo, but man, Evan, you tackle a guy, but when you think you know he's dealing with something or he's getting up there, I see guys doing the Saragusa to Rich Gannon, pouncing on McCaffrey, like just trying to that dirty stuff, but it ain't dirty because, you know, that extra, man, if I can get Evan, I know he's dealing with. So we'll see, man, and I'm just curious to, and hopefully he can last a whole season. And we don't have to bring up Jordan Mason.
Well, I think it's going to be hard for him to last the whole season. Yeah. You're going to have to let Jordan Mason go.
I'm not.
You're going to have to let him go.
Hey, he's in the file, Evan.
No, he's in Minnesota. he's with the Vikings.
So they like what they saw when they played him. Remember, it wasn't McCaffrey. It was old baby beast mode. They liked what they saw.
Vikings kicked the Niners' ass last year.
Yeah, but he had some runs.
Well, he ran the ball. Yeah. They need somebody to do it.
Who saw the Vikings last year?
But again, this is not – I don't want to do this every week where we think about, okay, so, for example, D. Winters is coming up to 2:30 on Willard and Dibbs. Everybody lock him about an hour from now. D. Winters, off-ball linebacker for the Niners, will be on Willard and Dibbs today.
Blitz.
Let's say D. Winters, God forbid, has a bad game. I don't want us to come in here on Monday and say, well, if you had Dre Greenlaw, you know, if you spent it on Dre Greenlaw –
that's my playbook, Evan. No.
Yeah. All right, so Sky Moore has a bad game.
No, Evan.
We should have kept Debo.
And that's what I love, Shasky. That's why I love him.
Like, Evan,
we react to new information, and he admits it, and I love – that's life.
But you said goodbye to all of these guys for a reason.
Have you ever been mad at a friend and then took him back?
All the time.
And then took him back? I'm like, you know what, that Evan really – I can't – and then a week goes by, 2 weeks. You're back besties.
No.
That's life, Evan.
Well, no, but
Steiny's
I will say,
the type that'll write you off.
No, Steiny's got a little soft spot. What I will say about, at least speaking for myself, and I think most people here know this, I don't like people when I first meet them. So I actually don't go back on folks.
That.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't like people when I first meet them.
Yeah, I'm a
How snobby can anyone be to say that?
It's not being a snob, it's being skeptical. There's a healthy level of skepticism that I talk to every single new person.
How does somebody get out of, you like them, what do they got to do?
Well, it just takes time, and then I come around to the fact that I like them. But I don't walk up to someone and I'm like, oh, I bet this is the greatest person I've ever met. I'm like, huh, all right, well, he's kind of looking at me side-eyed, and
Evan,
his first question to me was off
to a good start. That's the part I love when you meet somebody like, so far.
Well, we're different. But I warm up to people. It takes me longer than it takes you.
I didn't know that.
But that means that when I do like you and we become friends, I don't have that point where I get mad at you and I got to like take you back. Like, no, you're my boy.
Well, with that thought mindset, Steph Curry wouldn't have Aisha had he not did Evan. So, wow, man. Dude, I love her on the podcast. It was Who's Your Daddy's podcast she was on.
All right, do you want to listen to it?
Yeah, we have to before we get out of here.
Okay, so this is Aisha Curry talking about Steph shooting a shot.
Yeah.
First three that 40% ever mattered in his life.
When I moved to L.A., he Facebooked me.
Did he write on your wall or was it like a private message?
No, it was a private message. But he was like, hey, do you still live in L.A.? That's a lie. The first message was, I was in this music video and he was like, hey, who is that in the music video, in the picture that you're in? And I'm like, oh, it's Young Berg. And he goes, oh, I should have known. He always has all the sexy ladies. And I was like, what is happening right now?
Stop! That's how you do it. You're single, ready to mingle.
Wow!
Yeah, you see how he did it? Oh, he has all... My man!
Goo, that's a horrible line.
Are you kidding me?
Young Berg has got all the sexy ladies in his video.
It wasn't about Berg. He used that bridge to let her know he thought she was beautiful.
There's a much easier way to let a woman know that she's beautiful besides telling her that you're in a rapper's video because he's got a bunch of other hot women in it.
Evan, you're being too critical here. You got it. He shot his shot.
That's corny, man. I'm sorry. Steph Curry is one of the best people that we've ever come across, but
the chef.
That is not a great line.
And now they got a family and they're married and man.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's obviously a great guy.
But he went in early to let her know he's that, because that was the title of the jam. Forget the rapper. It was, he has all the beautiful, and she knew who he was talking about.
I don't discriminate versus anyone.
Have you heard?
Kyle!
Oh, some people are saying that's the name of the song. In that case,
okay,
that wasn't
too
bad. No,
you and I shouldn't. We're hipper than a hippopotamus. Name of what song?
He's got a song named Sexy Ladies, I guess.
So you think Curry knew?
If he did, then there's...
Now that may...
Well, then there's another level to it.
I'd like it if he didn't know.
I know you did. I know you did.
Evan, you got to compliment. You got to shoot your shot.
Dude, his podium game isn't that great. Why is his...
I like it. You and Steiner.
Well, you like everything that he does. Seriously, name me one thing you don't like about Steph Curry. I bet you can't do it.
Not publicly going in on Draymond after he hit pool. Yeah. Still haven't gotten over that. I was going to tell him last time we pulled up on him, but...
You should tell him next time.
That's too late.
That's what I
thought. But no, nah, come on, Evan, be real. You're single. I like that. What was he supposed to say? Hey, you like pizza? Oh, I can't say that line. I'll get in trouble. But come on, Evan. You know what I'm saying.
No, he's diminishing all the other aspects of her by saying she's only the sexy lady. That's it.
What would you have sent? You probably wouldn't even let her know you thought she was beautiful until the first date if you got that.
Well, if I met her in person, that's something different. But, yeah.
But if you sent something across social...
I don't slide in women's DMs.
See, and that's why you can't appreciate... I have, back in the day.
You didn't have DMs back in your day. That's all I'll say. Do it in person.
Oh, man.
Approach women with respect.
Why am I mad that you're saying I didn't have it back in my day?
Well, because you didn't.
We had to...
DMs do not exist.
Yeah, you had to man up.
AOL.
No, you had to walk across the room and shoot your shot.
Well, that's
social
what I'm
media,
saying. But
I
this...
love you. You are my best friend. E, it's not corny. Like,
if that's the name of the song and people are letting me know that it is, that's one
but
thing.
But even if it's not, he let her know she was... He had eyes for her. That's what I love about it. Honesty. Hey. Not all this crap.
There's a lot more than what they look like. When it comes to the game of love.
Man.
What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Giddings and Guru. Stein's going to be back on Monday. Coming up next is the crossover. Grandy and Willard. That segment brought to you by Cars for Kids, Cars with a K.